Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, which is an online format designed to help Building Families and Communities Institute reach a national audience. Our weekly topics include issues that are confronting our families and communities of great importance. From time to time, we have experts come on and share with us their expert opinions or background, as well as guests from and with various experiences. Most importantly, you, our listening audience, is what is valuable to us. This show serves as a catalyst for our traveling lecture series, which allows us to have important dialogue all across the United States. We're grateful for you, those of you that have joined us in the past, and the new callers, listeners, or those that perhaps have joined us on Facebook tonight, welcome. We encourage you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Yours truly is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and again, we're happy to engage you tonight. One of the many hot topics that was covered on our last episode this past Tuesday, entitled Trick or Treat, Life in the Fast Lane, was the effectiveness of the church institution in the lives of troubled or concerned people across urban America. Because this was a very important topic, we decided to extend that conversation, if you will, to tonight and to go a little bit deeper into it. And one of our regular listening members who have been keeping up with us, we're grateful for it, a gentleman that goes by the title Outcast, he has been with us and he's joined us. And so I offered him and I extended to him the opportunity to give his position, because he had a somewhat different position on the role of the church or the importance of the church. I think we in general agree, but he had a slightly different, and I want to give him an opportunity to lay his argument out clearly. But of course, as usual, we're going to offer our monologue, and the purpose of our monologue is for me to lay out the framework for our conversation tonight and give some factual basis for it and things of that nature. We welcome you to call in as well and to be a part of this very important dialogue. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. As I mentioned, and as you've heard in the opening of the show, This is an educational lecture series, and we do rely and can use your financial support. When you make a contribution to us, we're able to prepare ourselves to go into the various cities. And on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, I'd like to encourage you to go there to find out what that is. We're based in Nashville, Tennessee, and we do have a local initiative as well, Parent Empowerment Initiative, one we worked out with the juvenile court judge, Sheila Calloway in Nashville, Davidson County. But whatever you do, you help us as a nonprofit stay alive. This is the typical giving season between October and December. Your contributions are totally tax deductible. And as you go to our website, you will see what our status is with Internal Revenue in the state of Tennessee and so forth and so on, and all the questions you might ask in terms of determining if this is a decent or a good source to make a contribution to. But again, we thank you for that, and we'll have more announcement about that before we leave, and we'll be doing more of that. All right, but having said that, I'm going to now get into our monologue because I'm anxious to get Outkast to come in here and talk to me about this thing. I know that this is an excellent opportunity for us all to grow and to develop, so we're grateful for his participation as well as yours. And again, that number for you to call us tonight, we welcome your comments, your questions. Just ask that you keep it relevant to our dialogue or conversation or topic, and that you be respectful. After you give your opinion, we may not all agree, but at least we can be amicable with one another. We'll have Pastor Ricky Waller on with us as well, and hopefully you'll call us here at 657-383-0944. Having said that, let's get into it. Again, the topic is, in my world of trouble, what is the church's role? In my world of trouble, what is the church's role? I want to... Because we're talking about church, we're talking about something that originated a concept out of the Bible, I'm going to spend a little bit more time from a biblical perspective, but also offer a historical perspective as well in terms of how the church has functioned in the life of men and women, families, humanity, in fact. All right, let's begin with Matthew's, the 16th chapter, verse 13 through the 19th verse. And it reads, and this is a King James version of the Bible. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah's, and others Jeremiah's, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Last text. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 reads, for the time is now. Let me say that one more time. The time is right now, beloved, that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what then? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's the text. That's the text. And that's the framework by which I'd like to talk tonight about the church. Okay? Now, but first let me kind of define what a role is so we can be clear with each other and we can be on the same sheet of music here. A role is defined as the position or purpose that someone or something has in a given situation, within an organizational structure, within a society, or even a relationship. In other words, brothers and sisters, we all got a role. The question is, what is our role? All right? Now, a little historical background on the etymology of the word church, or the origin of the word church. Since the translation of the Holy Scriptures from Hebrew, Latin, and Greek to the English language, what most people know about the word church is that it is related to the congregation of believers or of God. All right? In the old English language, somewhere around 1570 AD, the word service meant public place of worship. It was a dramatic derivative. In other words, when English was put together, it came from the old German language. You understand? English was mixed with several different languages. It was a German derivative of the Greek word ekklesia, which describes the people of the New Testament that we hear about all the time in the Bible. It was this meaning, referring to what Jesus was talking to Peter about building a church on. In Matthew's, the 16th chapter and 18th verse, when the Savior made mention of building his church. Moreover, those left with the leadership, those that represent the gospel of Christ and the salvation that comes with it, they ought to represent that power that comes with your association, your affiliation, your baptism with Christ. Not only power, but authority and hope for a dying world. Please believe me, that was what Jesus' intent was. For those that were enmeshed in his word and his truth to be a light to a dying world. We heard him say, you are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill, right? Amen. All right. Now let me give a little historical backdrop of how the church has functioned. In the Old Testament, it was a function of congregational worship. All of the 12 tribes that were led by Moses would come together, and every man was responsible for bringing his family. But there were priests designated and individuals that were there to make sure everybody came together at one time. All right? Now, the most important thing is that this was a source of national unity. The church functioned like that. In Genesis 28 chapter, Jacob wrestled with an angel, and he said that he was not going to turn his angel loose, so he blessed his soul. What he said is this. This is none other than the house of God. There's power here. And he got a new name, Israel, which means to have power with God. I come to tell you, you got some power here. We're talking about the hood. We're talking about the ghetto, and we're talking about your neighborhood, urban America. And how can we save these babies out here killing one another? I want you to know that through the house of God, you got some power. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. It also sparked heritage and identity, okay, for young children. Exodus 20th chapter talked about how when your children go to bed at night, when they get up in the morning, when they eat, when they go in, when they come out, teach them these values because this is their power. All right? New Testament. In the New Testament, the church was a gathering spot for believers who often, as we read, were on the run and who were persecuted, but they had a place to come together to worship together as one. The oppressed, it was a home for them. It was a place for the miracles of Christ to be shared with one another through testimony. And guess what? Before Christ left, he gave in the 28th chapter of Matthew what was known as a great commission for his disciples to go out, not to hesitate, not to be scared, not to clam up, but to go out and profess the good news. All right. And in saying that, slavery was a period in history, particularly in the Afro-American history, where people faced difficult times. And what their opportunities to come together and worship in the hush harbor and in the shacks, what the church functioned as was a place for relief from their pain, hope for better conditions. And even when Harriet Tubman was running the Underground Railroad, it was an opportunity for them to disguise their real intent and motives to come together and to plan that thing. Problem was, some folk came to church and their heart wasn't right. Their mind wasn't set on freedom. But there were others who benefited from it. All right? During the Reconstruction era, after 1865, 1870, the church, the black church, was a place for motivating self-determination and newly freed individuals who were no longer slaves. It was an informational depot yet again, as well as guidance for family and community. And it led to Black Wall Street and things of that nature. People knew that if they were grounded with faith, and their faith was driven by certain things, that they would be all right. Then the Civil Rights Movement, as we know, it was a meeting place for people who wanted to make sure that their rights were respected and honored. It was a shelter from the violence, as well as community orientation, and a place that families could go to get key spiritual and social instruction as how to live their lives and be happy and prosperous. Church function. Now, I got my good friend on with me, and he is going to talk to me tonight about this church thing. And I want to give him an opportunity to share it, lay it out for me. Explain to me like I'm 3 years old now what you mean. Outkast, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Hold on one second before you come. Let me recognize Pastor Waller here. Good evening, sir. And it looks like we got 3072 on the line. Let's do.
What do you say, Pastor Doctor?
All right. 3072, good evening.
Good evening.
All right. You guys feel free to join us out there in Radio Land, 657-383-0944. Catherine, thank you, darling. I see you on Facebook. Appreciate you tuning in with us. I hope you can give us a call and join the live discussion. All right. As well as Brother Derek Moore, thank you for joining us here on Facebook. All right. Come on, Outkast. Drop it on me, man. Give it to me. Give it to
me. All right. Now, before the show ended Tuesday, it was my point. When it come to me, I'm a man.
Yes, sir.
When it came to my children, I didn't raise them. I reared them. And also they had spiritual guidance.
Okay.
I keep Bible in the house. I'm quite sure everyone have a Bible in the house. That stated, I came up for a while in a Jehovah's Witness home, you know.
Right.
It wasn't what I wanted concerning religion, but, you know, my grandmother was here, so that was the way that we had to go. Now, question.
Okay.
Reverend Docker.
Yes, sir.
As myself being a man, is it left up to the welfare system to support my children?
No, sir.
Is it left up to the church to support my children?
No, sir.
Feed them, clothe them, teach them?
Well, this is what I was saying
before the show closed.
Right. Only under certain conditions.
Okay.
Can I qualify my response?
Yes.
Only under certain conditions would it be expected for the church to step in your shoes or in that function as a provider for your household. But go ahead.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't one of the ones. This is what I'm stating. If a lot of men would step up to the plate and be the father that they were supposed to be, I think that there would be a dramatic drop in crime.
I agree with you.
I do 1,000%. Understand now, you know, as I told you, I don't down churches because I realize that some churches are large, some churches are small. Some churches can't do what other churches do. So I don't talk about churches, you know.
Okay.
Even the ministers that they have in churches, a lot of them are unqualified. This is why you have people talk about there's a church on every corner and nothing is being done in the neighborhood and things of that nature. That's one of the problems. And they go on. Now, I mean, if it was any objections, if we got off on the wrong foot, I mean, the show was closing out.
Yeah.
And that was my main thing.
I
don't down churches now. I don't do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
what we were talking about,
I was blessed. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead. Finish it.
No, go ahead. Go on. I'm listening.
You're right. This topic came up toward the end of the show as we had two pastors on and a number of people had made points. And I think your point was you were saying that we shouldn't put it all on the church. That's what I recall hearing you say. And
well, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. And so what I was trying to intimate to the listening audience is that there's a specific function of the church in any individual's life, whether you black, white, green, purple, yellow, or the other, okay? And if that function or that purpose is not being fulfilled or met, it begs the question, what are they there for? You follow me? Now, you made a great point that ideally, in an ideal world, nobody should take over a man's household and run it for him, not even the church. But if that male wants to be a husband and a father and a provider and don't know how to, the question is, where can they go to get that instruction? That's really where we want to look at. That's really what I was looking at. And there are good people, outcasts and listening audience, that want to do well. They just don't know how. One of the questions we post on our Facebook thread is, what is the function of the church? You know, and if somebody is looking for that instruction, then should they be able to go there? You know, we pay tithe, we pay offering, we give offering. We feel bad like we're going to hell if we don't give our tithes and offering. Ain't that right? And the IRS will tell you you're going to lose everything if you don't give Caesar what belongs to him. Well, when are you going to get something back from him, though? All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But at the end of the day, I realize, and I was listening to the lady Tuesday when she stated she was talking about some females living in the project, you know, prostituting or whatever, doing it hungry, and whatever money she do get out there prostituting, you know, she go and buy dope with it. These are the children that are in trouble. Unfortunately, my children were not in that situation because I made sure that they were not in that situation. But at the end of the day, you know, I do understand that you do not want to bring politics into this. Okay, what is the role of the people that they elect to office, and what is the role of the police department? What are their roles in this?
That's a good question. That is a good question. And we'll hit that a little bit. I had done a couple of shows about that, actually. But that is a great question. Let me do this. Let me bring the others into the conversation a little bit, let them weigh in, and then we'll kind of move forward there, if it's all right. 3072, what do you say about it? You've been following our conversation, so.
Yeah, I have. I mean, that's it's kind of hard to say because Was it Outkast just speaking about the lady prostituting and then misusing the money? Well, then you have some churches that have been or trying to be there for the community or people in that shape, and sometimes the churches get used and abused to where they have to turn the person away, you know? So that's, I don't know, that's a hard bridge to kind of.
Okay. Well, and okay, all right. You know, when you think about it, Jesus had a woman who was Samaritan, and she was at a well, and she tried to run game on Jesus. But because he was on top of his game, amen, and because he was clear with what he was doing, he called out. And guess what? He still gave her hope, even though she came trying to run game. And that's where we have to be. If what we're doing is based in the spirit of truth and God is with us and we're coming in God's name, guess what? There'll be times where we'll run against things that we perhaps haven't seen that are difficult, but that's where the hope is. You understand what I'm saying? And I like what you said, Outkast. There are many congregations who are working hard and doing wonderful things. We don't hear enough about them. I don't want to give the impression that I believe for a second that churches are not doing the best and that nobody's doing anything. I don't want to give that impression. But here's the reality.
Right.
When we look around, brothers and sisters, and we see the despair, we see the hopefulness, the hopelessness, rather, and the shame that people are facing, clearly, I'm talking about myself as a pastor. Now, I've been a pastor for 21 years now. Clearly, there's more that need to be done. We shouldn't look at it as an indictment, but we should look at it as where the work is, as the light is shining on where the work is. Pastor Waller, what's that? Pastor Waller?
Hello, Pastor Doctor.
Yes, what say you, sir?
Yeah, I was listening and just sitting back listening, man, and I think you was talking about trouble earlier, that if you happen to have trouble, where is it that you can go? I think
correct.
Is that accurate to say?
That is correct.
Yeah,
that is correct.
I think that's a great topic that you brought up, and I want to kind of elaborate on when I was in trouble. Because I didn't know God, you know, even having a Bible in the house, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, didn't know nothing about God, wasn't interested in opening up the Bible or any of that. However,
okay.
I used to hear a lot about church, you know, quite often. And, you know, time was dying. And I discovered, make a long story short, there was a man in church who came out of the church that utilize himself as an example. And what I found out later on, he was doing the will of God. It meant that he had compassion on other people who was in trouble. I didn't just go to church as a person that would go to church, you know, because our family went to church. That wasn't where I came up. However, I'm glad to know that when I found out later on after my life changed, and then I became a minister, so that means I was affiliated with the Word of God. So I no longer trusted me anymore. I made sure that I wasn't going to trust me from that day on because I know I've been a fool for a long time. And if I'm going to guide my family as foolish as I was, then I'm going into a ditch and everybody that I train and follow me, they follow me going in the ditch also. So I've had enough of that. That means I was in deep trouble. I mean, I'm messing up everybody's life, corrupting my community and things like that. So I was in trouble. Now watch this. I found out later in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus himself, you know, was in need for workers.
Right.
Jesus traveled throughout the whole towns and villages in that area, teaching now in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. But while he was traveling on the road, and when he saw the crowd, the multitude, he had compassion on them. That sounds like to me he was concerned about people on the outside.
That's
you
right.
know, because they were confused and helpless, hopeless, you know, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, people who was affiliated with him, he said, the harvest is great, it's big, but the workers are few. So that means that everybody's not going to be concerned about people on the outside. But just because there was a man by the name of Pastor, he came out of the church, man. So that was evidence. That was an example for me to follow, because not everybody's going to walk up into the church, even when they're in trouble, because they don't feel it's a strange place to go to. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it's a beautiful place to go to. I took my hat off to know that, that the church was available. But the good news is, when you're looking for workers, he says, so pray to the Lord who owns the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I mean, that sounds like, to me, information on how to go out and fish for men.
Right.
And just like I corrupted my community, I had a right to go out and to be an example. So now that I do God's will, I no longer do the enemy's will. You see, if that makes sense.
That makes
somebody's
sense.
Somebody's got to be. That's why he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's only a few workers. There's only a few people that have compassion on other people that's on the outside, man. And so I'm just grateful to know that the responsibility of the people that's in the church for those who are willing and able and have information is to go out into the world by way of instructions and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that people that's out there with the guns, people that's out there robbing, stealing and killing and everything else that they're doing, if they had information brought to them, you never know who's going to change, man. And I'm thanking God that the man came out and said something to me. So I'm listening, and I just know that that's a powerful tool in the church, and that's called the Bible. And I like to utilize it in everything I do. Because one more thing I'm going to say, he says to me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct my path. So that's what I've been doing since I've been on his team. I don't trust me anymore. I'm lean to my own understanding. But in all of my ways, not some of my ways, even on this talk show, I have to acknowledge him, because that's where I got my deliverance from, if that makes sense. You know?
Right.
So no longer do I trust me. I refuse to do that.
Gotcha.
Wow.
If it were just a matter of how I felt or you felt or anyone else felt, then perhaps what we say would be the order of the day. But the truth of the matter is, before we came in the world, there was a reality and there was a truth. Outcast, I know you're a man who have been around and you've seen good and bad in people. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And also yourself.
You're right. And I believe that what you really want to see is improvement. But the truth of the matter is, if we're not honest with people, some people say, you can't tell me nothing. And you know, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do, right? But yet they don't have the right information to do what is profitable for them. How do you deal with someone like that? How do you deal with someone like that?
Well, I come across people like that a lot.
Okay.
Even down, you know, to my children, you know, I realize that when they turn 18, okay, it's all go with me. I do what I want to do. But I read them, got them prepared to enter adulthood, and that was all that I could do. Because going back to I'm grown, you can't tell me what to do. I have younger sisters and brothers. I used to go talk to them, tell them things. Okay?
Sure.
I'm grown, you can't tell me nothing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I continuously battled with my brother, you know, next to me, under me, about smoking dope, smoking crack, running up and down the streets, wanting to be homeless. I was actually going to fight him at one point. But now he's in prison with three life sentences. I went to visit him in the Shelby County Jail.
Okay.
And I said, look, I continuously talk to you and talk to you and talk to you. But every time I tried to talk to you, you told me you were grown. And I said, look now, look where you are. You couldn't say nothing but, well, you're right, you know.
Yeah.
Some people you can talk to, some people you can't, like me. When I was out there doing the things that I was doing, couldn't know. People could talk to me, but still I was going to do what I wanted to do. You know, yes, I knew right from wrong, but yet and still I chose to do wrong. I knew my way to church. I knew my way to talk to an adult in my family or listen to my older sister or whatever, but I chose to do what I was doing. But when God brought me in from all that, he brought me in. You know, prison haven't been there in decades. Didn't have any business there from the beginning. I don't
understand.
I don't fault anyone.
Right.
I do not.
Yeah.
I made my choices. And that was that. But the people don't want you telling them.
I'm glad you said that, because oftentimes when we start talking, you alluded to politicians. When we start talking about religion and politics, people feel as though some kind of way, how do I say this, they're going to be scolded, or somebody is going to take over or hold them, punish them in some kind of way. And that's really not the motive for a citizen availing themselves to their community, right? Nor someone who is a believer in the church. The motivation shouldn't be out of fear, other than the fear of God, okay? But when a person understands, it's easier for them. Now, here's what I learned. I shared this story once before. I pastored, my congregation was right in the heart of the hood, not too far from the project where the Dope Boys hung out. They literally hung out about 100 feet or more down from the church door. And, you know, I would often go down there and invite them to church, okay? I'd say, y'all come and see me, man, you know, and we'd give a little dap. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Yep. Kind of like Pasquale. And I told him a million times. Well, make a long story short, I'm on my way home one night and called my wife, and I told her, you know, she was often concerned about me being over there after dark and after midnight. Well, I called my wife, and I told her, I'll be there in a minute. I'm leaving now. Turned the alarm on and everything. And as I walked out, the young men were down there on the corner, and I'm getting ready to lock the door. One fellow ran up the stairs in a haste. Hey, I need you. Now, you know, my street sense got to kicking in, Pastor Walker.
Right.
You understand? I kind of grew up in the housing project, and it kind of took me back a few years. You understand what I'm saying? 3072. And I said to myself, well, okay, what's going on? What's going on, little brother? You understand what I'm saying? But now, watch this, Outcast. I've been trying to tell them to come and what? Fellowship with me, right?
Right.
Make a long story short, went ahead and let a man turn the alarm off. He said, man, little buddy down there talking crazy. He said, it ain't no God. It ain't no God. I said, what? What? Who that saying that? He said, he down there. I need you to come and get him straight for me, man. Now, I got in my little hoopty and drove 100 feet down. And all of them, there's about 15 or 20 of them out there. And I saw pistols stuck in the back of fellas' britches. And I saw 40 ounces and people's ass glazed look like they've been lighting up. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying to assess the scene. First thing I got to call it. Cussing me from head to toe. I don't want to hear that. Don't bring that blank blank over. Get on away. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So the little fella said, I asked him to come. What he going to do? Make a long story. I was there for a good hour and a half. And when we got through, the little brother had tears in his eyes. And he thanked his friend. Get me. My point is that, Outcast, we talk about church, but if you're not willing, ready to go where they are and meet them where they are, man, in their element, just go and shut it down. That's what people need today. Not everybody.
Yep.
Not everybody. But it's showing up some shouties out there. Excuse my urban vernacular here. There's some young folk out there that can lead
right
that, man. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, I mean, yes, I do, but here's the point. You know, the neighborhoods. Actually, there's a lot going on in the neighborhood, but how do you fix it?
It is.
Look,
it is.
Look, politicians haven't fixed it. Certain neighborhoods. Politicians haven't fixed
right.
it. You know,
that's
they come, a politician come, get your vote. They're going to, you know, reduce crime. Neighborhoods are going to do this, going to do that.
Wow.
They get elected in. They're going about their business. Police come in. They start patrolling. And as soon as they start patrolling, people are complaining, driving while black, ease up. They slowly fade away. And guess what?
Okay.
The only ones that are left out are your ministers.
Wow.
You know, you have ministers out in certain neighborhoods, you know, and stated, I dare not criticize the church, you know.
No, that's not our intent. No, sir. No,
right.
Sir. You're right.
See, this
you're
is
right.
what I was saying
right.
in a long run. But with it all boiled down, if I vote for an official to straighten up my neighborhood, I give you my vote. This is what I expect you to do. I don't expect you to go up and sit down and lollygag and go to your little parties and do your little talking. When something happens, like you're really gonna do something, you turn around, you walk off, and the same problem is there.
Yeah.
But again,
you know you're stepping on my toes, don't you, Alcaz? Alcaz, you know you're stepping on my toes, right?
but am I not telling the truth? Is this not
you
truth
are telling the
of a
truth
lot of
and
politics?
You're stepping on my toe. Ouch! You're gonna make me say ouch.
But now I know. Well, I have faith in you. I believe that you, if you were elected to any type of office concerning the neighborhood or whatever, you would be out in the neighborhood full force. You would make yourself known. You know.
Okay.
You just wouldn't come
right.
in and get a vote and go on. Grandstanding is what they would call it. But
right,
at the
right,
end of the
right,
day,
right.
who are the last men standing?
Wow.
The ministers.
They should.
They're,
you
know,
they're
the last
and,
ones
man,
standing.
You raised such a. I see Charles is on the line with us. Charles talked about this once before, and that is if the preacher, Pastor Waller, expect the confidence and the trust of the parishioners or potential parishioners, there's a certain expectation from the preacher. You know, I want you to come clean. You know, keep it 100 with me. Is that right, Charles?
I'm still trying to see where we're going with the conversation. I hate to say something and be on the wrong topic.
Come on in. Speak.
Okay.
I ain't
tonight,
blaming
those
Charles. But,
Go ahead, Charles.
I wouldn't blame no church, but same time, if you're supposed to be called, it's different between people who called out here. And it's like you're supposed to know what's going on the schedule. You know, he's talking to you. If he's talking to you, he's leading you in a direction, he's leading his people. You're the shepherd and the sheep. I mean, these people belief system. That's your whole, your belief system controls every thought, every choice you make in life. That's why I don't blame them. They play a key role in society, though, because that's your belief system. You only go this way and this is the right way. That's because that's what you believe. Now, if they're kicking the right message to these young people, I mean, it got to be some kind of outcome. It got to be something about the change, because it's all inside the head. People's minds are messed up. If your mind messed up, it got to be some wrong with the belief system there.
Right. Well, you know, that's so true. The thing is that anybody can say the Lord told me. Anybody can say he called me and he sent me.
I agree.
Right? Anybody can say
right.
that. Here's the question. In our system of laws, nobody can challenge you legally. So if you're clever enough, you can convince enough people to listen to you in the name of Jesus and mess them up.
Right.
That's the danger.
Right.
That's the danger.
Right. Amen.
And see, 1066 was when the Scandinavian king formed England, and the Pope of the Catholic Church, he said, Pope ain't going to tell me how to run my country. I'm going to start my own church. So he started the Anglican Church, right, which gave the king some divine powers. and took it away from the Pope. It was all about politics, Outkast.
That's about politics. Right.
About power and control.
Right.
In the name of what? Religion. My point is that we've operated under the same concept that we separate the power of the church from the state. And the issue is there are a lot of people, and that's not my place to judge nobody or to determine who God called, but there are a lot of people, when you ask them, since God told you to tell me, answer this for me, tell God to answer this for me, where my money at? Why my baby's dying? When am I going to be able to get off of this roller coaster of despair? Talk to me, God and brother preacher, and see when it come like that, they can't seem to give me no answer. So what do you do? What do you do?
You go find another church.
So I say, go to another church.
Man,
I tell you. Can I hear from the lady, please?
Hi
there.
Get right on in here, 3072.
I'm just listening to these real men on here talking. I'm kind of enjoying it. You know, this is like a breath of fresh air.
But I was trying to say
that, you know, it is quite possible, man, after people leave the streets, they need counseling to be able to.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, because what I wanted to do.
Me too.
Yeah. What I wanted to do before we finish tonight, caller, is to kind of offer an outline of some things. When you come into the church, right? Say you join the church. Charles said, go find another church. When you got there, what are your goals? You know, are you going to be there 10 years and still in the same place on the same pew? Or do you expect the spiritual leadership to feed you in a way that you can personally grow, Outkast, be the husband of one wife and the father of orderly children, and establish yourself as a figure in your community, right, guided by righteous principle? Should we demand that from the church leadership? Is it unfair? And I'm Pastor Wall, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a pastor, too. I've been pastor for 21 years now. Is it unfair for somebody to question you like that? Anybody?
No, it is not. No, it is not. And I go back to this, you know, which you know, I went to the seminary. You know that, right, Reverend Doctor?
Right.
I went to the seminary.
Okay.
And one of the things that they asked you when you put in out your application for admittance, were you called?
Okay.
I remember myself putting, I came.
What?
I didn't put on there saying I was called.
Bye.
I did not do that. You know,
okay.
I mean, you know, I'm working jobs. You know, I was going to school at night, working jobs, bringing in extra money for my children and things and that. Just so I had to let it go. You know, which that college, you know, that college I actually attended, you know, was a seminary. We had a lot of debates in there. And everybody's addressed this Reverend, you know, so-and-so, whatever. But I go back to this. The reason you have so many churches on every corner is because a lot of you ministers, you know, you have a lot of individuals have one up to these ministers, brown nose, shiny shoes, watch their shorts and stuff like that. And they've read a few scriptures out the Bible and passages or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, they are 100% ministers. But no, it's wrong. This is something that needs to be stopped in the long run. You know? It needs to be stopped. When I go into a church. Okay, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No. You raised
a great
point.
Go ahead.
How can you stop them if there's – how are you going to stop them? Don't they have a right, a constitutional right, to be a preacher if they say God called them? I mean, how are you going to stop them?
Well, I will bet you. Now, you know what, Reverend Dockery? I ran across a lot of people, even on the streets. You know, you have people out here, you know, they be out here, you know, trying to recruit you to come to their churches and things of that nature.
I'm guilty.
When I'm talking to them, now listen to me. When I'm talking to them,
okay,
I ask them some questions. I ask them questions that I know they can't answer in the long run, but I do it for a reason. My reason is this. When I listen to them, and then I begin to ask them questions, they can't answer me. I give them to the answer, and I ask them, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you have a high school diploma or GED?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I said, look, are you wholeheartedly and thoroughly dedicated to what you're doing? Yes.
Hmm.
But they have a lot of seminaries around here, and I feel that you should go and join one.
Okay.
You know?
I see.
This is me. I bet.
Well,
you know,
that makes sense.
This is why a lot of these so-called ministers, I mean, I just, you know, it's a joke to me. Look, brother, you going out here, you know, you telling a person something that they already know, and then I counteract you. Look.
I get you.
Again. If you are sincere and you're dedicated to what you're doing and ministering is what you want to do, you go to the seminary and you prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Prepare yourself. Now, I know you've been to the seminary, Reverend Doctor. I know you have. Just as one of myself when I left.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is the major, major, major problem here in society, and people are jumping up and down. Talking about you got a it used to be they got a liquor store on every corner. Now if they got a church on every corner, they ain't doing nothing. Look at the neighborhood.
Well, it is evident. Let me stop for a second and recognize some people that are tuning in with us via Facebook. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight, Vera Finney. Welcome to Talk Straight, Raquel Collar. Welcome to Talk Straight. Who else? Catherine, welcome to Talk Straight. Stefan, welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking tonight from the topic, In My World of Trouble, What is the Church's Role? And if you saw our Facebook promotion, you'll see the image of a little boy holding a Bible, crawling out of the crime tape in darkness.
Wow.
Man.
Let me say that again. A little boy is crawling out of crime tape in darkness with a Bible in his hand, and his question is, I got trouble in my world. What is the role of the church? Our intention is not to beat anybody up, no church up. We're not calling any particular name. We're trying to describe, Pastor Waddle, what is the function, the duty, and the role of the church in your life. Now, if things are going good for you, you got one foot in heaven, one foot on earth, cool. Everybody ain't like that. Mm-hmm. Pastor Wall, I want you to listen to the temptations as they describe certain circumstances, and I want you to come in. I got a question for you, Pastor Wall. After, is that all right, sir?
All right. Yeah, go ahead. That's good.
The number listening audience is 657. You can call us right now and get in the conversation. 657-383-0944. Give me a few seconds after temptation. Check this out.
Thank you.
listening to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, In My World of Trouble, what is the church's role? Pastor Waller, round and around and around we go. Where this thing ain't gonna stop, don't nobody know. Ain't nobody talking but the preacher. Why we keep going in a circle?
Man. Never think I was gonna stop, man. I'm telling you, round and around like that, you know, and around you go. It's amazing, you know, that when I had a chance to get with God, that was a stopping point. Because after all, doing the same thing over and over and over again, man, I mean, just to think about it, you know, every time I have a chance to think about it, it still weighs heavy, but it does not take away from my assignment, you know. And, you know, I realize within myself what I harvest is what I plant, you know. And when I look at, you know, what I harvest out of what I plant, it was destruction and plenty of it. And it was a sad thing when I recognized that, you know. But then I go into what the Word of God is saying to me and how he gave me the instruction in what to do. You know, it reminds me of this man who was demon-possessed. And once this man got free and being in the assembly with people that love God, I thought, you know, and I'm sure he did as well, but they put Jesus out. And so the man, you know, didn't want to stay in the church when he put Jesus out of the church. So he wanted to hang out with Jesus. But Jesus told him, said, no, so just go home to your friends and tell them what I've done for you.
Tell them.
How I had compassion on you. And see, what that man did was he said, well, okay, I know I have a lot of friends. And he went home to tell his friends what the Lord had done for him and how he had compassion on him. And that's a beautiful thing. It wasn't anything other than following the instructions. And so me, myself, I didn't know anything about no Bible or nothing like that. But again, later on I found out about that. After I was already doing it, I was already going to tell my friends because I knew they was captured, caught up, and they too came up without a Bible, without knowing anything about the Word of God. And so we only went for what we knew. And that means that we was in trouble because of what we knew about caused us to get in trouble. But here's the key. You say, after we have escaped the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. See, I've done his will because that's what I planted. And I harvest what I planted. But then I also heard some later on in the Word of God where it says, dear brothers and sisters, if any of you that believe and you overcome, you know, what you was captured into, I mean, you who are godly when someone else has been overtaken, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. You know, that would be nice, right? But if I'm going to help them in the right path, I can't be sitting in the church with all this information and they're out there crying out. So what I would do, I would gently go out there. And it says, reminding me, and to be careful not to fall into the same temptation myself, because I remember those times.
Right.
But it says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, I love that, obey the law of Christ.
Okay.
And if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. You are not that important. So here I am. I was getting all that money by corrupting my community, but I discovered that, man, listen, go back out there and tell them folks, even though you're not getting no money for it, you still need to go out there and tell them. So the difference is, what I'm doing now supersedes getting that money that I used to get to do all the harm that I used to do. So I can't help but to go out in the street. And thank God that a man came out of the church and said something to me. Because I was going round and around and around. I was always going with the same mindset. You know how that song said, a one-track mind? And, man, it wasn't nothing I could do to get that track, man, because I didn't have the knowledge. I was in trouble. But once I got inside the will of God, of course, I'm going to say this here, and I'm going to turn it back over. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Could you imagine? I was in trouble, and he got in my trouble with me and showed me how to get out of it. You think I'm going to hold back on him? Oh, man, it would be a disgrace, man, if I held back, because the same temptation I would go back into if I don't keep doing what I'm doing, man. So I don't know about everybody else, but I'm thinking when he said there's only a few that have compassion. Not many people have compassion on people on the outside. I got mine, you get yours. That mentality is not my mentality, you know. Yeah,
yes, sir.
I have a love for people, man. I have a love for God's people, man. You know,
I have said this on a local show in Nashville that I was on for a few years, and I still hold this true, and this is one of the things that we aim to do. In fact, when last time I was in Chicago, I was talking to a bishop there, and you know, he kind of went there with me, Pastor Waller, started talking about, you know, what they had going on, he and some other churches around there, and you know, and it's okay. He was kind of glorifying in what the things they had talked about and they had worked up. And this is in Inglewood now. Inglewood is where most of the killing is taking place in Chicago.
That's right. Okay.
All right. And okay. I'm saying to him, that's good. That's good, Bishop. That's good, Bishop. Little Chief Keef. You familiar with that, Charles? The little fella, the rapper Chief Keef?
Oh, yes, I heard him before.
Okay. He had got into some little heat and what have you, and they were looking for him, you know. And make a long story short, my point is that I said to him, I said, listen, maybe if we all, starting with me, took off our robes and our suits and our ties and we just came like an ordinary dude and had some real heart-to-heart conversation with him, they wouldn't have a barrier up against us. Maybe they would hear us better. He said, "Oh no, ain't nobody gonna stop me from. I got to come like God told me to come."
Yeah.
Now my question is 37-2. My question is, if I'm in a hole, and I need you to get down in the hole with me, and you got on some $500 alligator shoes, and you scared to get them dirty, can you get me out the hole?
I don't see you pulling me out too much.
Not at all.
I'm thinking now. I'm in a mud hole.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I got these gators on right now. You know.
Yeah. I'm coming with them on myself. I'm coming with them on. You know. That's where I do my thing. You know, what I'm in a jogging suit or what I'm wearing gators. I'm coming. That's the way I do my thing.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, okay. That's just the way I do my thing. I did dope with gators on. I
know what a guy told me.
So, you know, I'm in the dirt anyway. I'd be on the phone doing two revivals in the dust in gators and things myself. Pastor, you know about it. You seem like that. That's what I do, man. Somebody be so dusty,
well,
look like, man, that look like a state of no return when I get off that dirt.
Well, I'm going to say it's kind of hard for me to run a race in some heels. I mean, I just can't run in the heels.
Heels off of them.
You got to cut
off the heels and roll.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor, let me be clear. Pastor, let me be clear. I'm a professional myself. I generally dress professionally. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you got to know when you're going to the battlefield that it ain't going to be peachy-cooey. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
And I like what you're saying, Pastor. You go to any moment's notice, ready to get down and dirty. Because that's what you need to do. You know?
Well, and I think, like you were saying, Dockery, that, you know, you have to meet people when they are and give you a really And I went back up to visit, and, you know, me and my brothers, my sisters, we are up there walking. Out of the group of us, the one dressed with the heels, with the
shoes. Speaking your phone there, 3072.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit better now.
Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
we can hear you better now.
I was frightened. Anyway, so there were some guys approaching looking like they were going to give us some trouble, and my brother made the statement, that's what you get. You out here looking like you got some money and you ain't got nothing, which is true. So if you're going to meet people where they are, you got to come like how they coming. Now, I'm not saying to sag and put some gold grills in your mouth or anything.
Right.
But at least, yeah, kind of, you know, relax some so they can relax.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here now. But should you model for them what you think good life is and what they should aspire to? No?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
But now, when they put that steel on you, tell you lay it down, then, because they, you know, they got to get that. Let me get that. Should you be, you going to fight them or give it to them?
That depends on what they want. I mean, that all depends.
They want some shoes. They want that suit you got on. You got them nuggets on your finger. I want that, too. Give me that watch, too.
I mean.
What's that around your neck?
That depends on which shoes and which rings. If it's the ones I like the most, we're going to have to scrap. If it's the one I don't care about, here you go.
But now you know they ain't got nothing to lose, right?
Oh, man, yeah.
Here's the point. Here's the point. I'm very serious. It's a very serious issue because oftentimes those that say they're coming in the name of the Lord, the expectation is when I say Lord, you're supposed to automatically drop it all and just give me all the confidence and trust that there is.
That's true. I like
what Outkast said. He had some simple questions he wanted to ask. You know, if you can't answer those, we can't go no further. Is that right, Outkast?
Mm.
Exactly right. Since you brought me back in, let me state this. I remember over 10 or 15 dozen times people have approached me, trying to recruit me. You know what they asked me? Do you know who woke you up this morning? Oh, okay. I said, that all God did? Then they want to, go to Amos chapter. They want to go to John 3:16. So you know what I do? I said, let me quote you Amos chapter 4, verse 13. That is my most favorite scripture in the Bible.
Tell us what it said.
And it goes like this. It's the, for behold, he who forms mountains, creates the wind, and declares to man what are his thoughts.
Okay.
He makes darkness done into darkness, and he treads the high places of the earth. And I said, you mean to tell me that this is all God did, was woke me up this morning? Now, I come from scripture, too. Is that all God did? No. God did more than woke me up this morning.
He's going to the church.
You know, Amos chapter 4, verse 13. See,
I think this is why
a lot of churches, Reverend Doctor, I don't even go in.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go back to what you stated earlier, Reverend Doctor, being fed.
Okay.
Being fed.
Right.
And being fed properly. As you, as being a minister.
My goodness.
And one that has went through the seminary. I come, I sit. And you and I can converse. I might say, well, Reverend Doctor, do you mind if I join your church?
Okay.
Yeah or nay?
Okay.
See?
You know what I'm going to tell you, don't you?
What?
I'm going to tell you I don't own one.
Well, at least God, that's good too. But who's pastoring the church?
Well, now I hear
who's
what you're saying. I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to tell you is this. Jesus established his church. He left somebody in charge now. Now, when I go wrong, I want you to hold me accountable, though, see? Are you walking with me?
I agree.
Why it's important for you to know the truth for yourself so you'll know how to correct somebody when they get off and they're in error, even the preacher. Amen, somebody.
Exactly.
Even when the preacher get off. If the preacher get off, he needs to be brought.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When the whole church, like you said, is not doing that, and you got everything under the sun going on in the church, like, and that's just homosexuality or lesbianism, women coming to church with all their bodies out, dope dealers are in there when they come and they looking just like what they are, you know, people smoking on the church porch, all kind of stuff like that, so... mean, what? They not going to say anything to them because the pastor is not going to say anything to them. So they're just mainly, not all of them, but the majority are just worried about the offering plate.
Oh, my.
Most people coming in there putting the money in, they are no paying church.
Well, let me ask this question. And I've shared this with some preacher friends of mine. Welcome, Alfred Moore and P. Bowl. Good evening, and welcome to Talk Straight. Our topic tonight is, in my world of trouble, what is the role of what is the church's role? Now, if the church operates and benefits and functions on money that comes in, what's the main way the church usually make money? What's the primary source of the church's resources? Anybody
the
know?
Tithes and offerings, right?
Tithes and offerings, traditionally, right? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some other congregations who have daycares and have other things going on, other outreach ministries and things of that nature. I'm not shunning that at all. But relative to tithes and offering, if you are a struggling mother, 3072, right? And you're concerned about your child's life, and you come to me, I'm going to personalize to me, and you ask me, what does the Bible say about getting this little nappy-head boy straight? What do you expect of me?
Well, I expect you to show me in the Bible what it says about getting a little nappy-head boy straight, and if there's some way you can help straighten him to do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell me if you don't, Reverend Dockery, then I'm gonna keep my money in my pocketbook. Tithes and offering, I'm gonna take it somewhere else where I can get that. Should I be upset with you?
No, I mean you can't be upset, but I'd be upset as a member if I heard about that incident and you pumped out that to the. And okay, well, I'll just whatever you say. I don't want to go to a church like that where somebody doesn't stand on the truth first.
Right. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting at, everybody. We, those of us that go to church, just like Outcast was saying with even politicians, we got to hold those who are in position of leadership accountable. I don't mean you be disrespectful, but you hold them accountable to what your expectations are. Then you should be accountable as well.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
I have a question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, if you can't go, if the preacher or pastor is trying to, you know, to speak to the young man what God is trying to tell him, does it have to? Is it going to always line up with a scripture? Do you have to, always have to point him to the scripture first? Is that confirmation of this?
Well,
no, you know,
that's a great man. Thanks for that question, Charles. Here's what I've been saying.
That is a good question.
Pastor Waller would tell you, before you start talking about Jesus, God, Lord, and pumping a Bible in somebody's face, you need to represent the word. Your light and your light got to shine so much so that before they even hear a word out of the Bible, they trust
that's
that
right.
you're going to tell them the truth. Can I say this?
That's
on the
it,
street.
That's it.
When I grew up on
that's
the streets,
it.
There was a phrase called game, no game.
Yeah,
so, Charles, what I'm saying is it's a whole lot easier when a young person or old person can accept you as a good man before they know you a preacher or a pastor. When they know you
right.
real, it's easy for you to share them with anything with them.
Because I believe if God leading us in the future, I don't think everything is going to come out of it's going to come out of Scripture. I believe you're going to talk to that person and use that man as a vessel, as a tool. You're going to work through that person. I don't think you're going to find everything, like taking to the Bible on every topic. I think he just uses the preachers in a different way. Because from my understanding, the preacher's supposed to be a prophet, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a prophet, you can't get to God. So everything is not going to be in that Bible. I don't heard all the stories in the Bible. It's more stories to be told. There's more things to be talked about. And I don't see that in a lot of churches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I
can answer that question for you.
Go ahead.
Everything, what we have is the basic book. if you had everything that went on, including wars and other things, it would be so big, if you put it together, you couldn't open it. You couldn't open it. This is the basic. This is enough in order to get you started, to get you to believe, to get you to move further and seek more knowledge. There are multiple books that go along with the Bible that we have in our everyday home.
Right.
And there's more and much more. Do you agree,
Reverend
Wallace?
I wanted to say this about what you just said, and I thank God for it, because, you know, being an example, you were saying something about letting your light so shine before men that they would see your good work and all of that, right? Because they may not even know anything about the Bible. So here it is, what was brought forth just a couple of minutes ago by Brother Charles. When I didn't hear the man say this scripture said this, I heard him say God is able. I mean, I don't know nothing about nothing. And all I heard was God was able. He didn't tell me what the scripture was. I just heard him say it. I took that and I embraced it. And I just left him saying that because I just heard he said God is able. Okay, now, to make a long story short, change took place, and now I'm in the Bible. So, in other words, don't deviate from something that you've been given to do by way of an assignment. See, everybody's not assigned to speak the word of God, but there are some that are.
Amen.
So when
Amen.
I go to the street, young brothers may come up to me and say, hey, Rev, what's the word for today? Now, what should I say? Oh, man, I don't know the word for today. It's good to know I don't have to have a Bible in my hand. And now that I can let them know, just like to sling that dope, when they say, hey, man, who got the fire? I say, I do. Now, you know, I don't have to say that. You see what I'm saying? What I have now is a little bit stronger. So if you say, what's the word for today? Now I got to think about, man, right then I can't say, I wonder. No, I come right out with a word. And then when they humble themselves, man, they appreciate it, because what is that doing? It's planting the seed. And I'm not worrying about what they do to church the day I put the seed down. I didn't go to church the day the man put the seed down on me. I didn't go until years later.
Right.
I may not even be around in some of the people's lives that's going to change. You know what I mean? But the good news is don't. He said, are you ashamed of me? In other words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And what the gospel is, good news, it's the word of God. It is not my own word. If I preach my own word, I'm getting ready to send people back into a ditch. Because the Bible says, whosoever trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. In other words, I'm walking wisely today, and I'm thanking God for being delivered. I can tell you where the scripture is. It's not because I know where the scripture is. It's just that I'm living this way today, and I have to appreciate what the Lord has done for me, because just like he gave it to me, and if I'm ashamed of him, then he can easily strip me from it, because you're ashamed to tell somebody about my word. He said, you're ashamed of the devil.
Yeah.
And I said, no, God, you're my witness. I wasn't ashamed of the devil. Whatever he told me to do, I would do it. Wherever he wanted me to go, I would go. And I'm talking about I was faithful with what I was doing. See, that's what God is looking for. Someone is faithful, you know. And when you're faithful, man, I mean, that's how he selected Paul, because he was faithful to whatever he was doing. He was tearing them people out of me, man. But God selected me. You know, that's what he did. So that's a good question. I like that question, Brother Charles.
Great question, Charles. Charles, I'm convinced that if we just give a little more consideration, and when I say we, I'm talking about those of us in leadership, churches, pastors, and ministers, and so forth and so on, not just males, but females as well. If we give a little bit more attention to the fact that those that are hungry and that are needy, you've got to reach them where they are, but you got to be sincere and ready yourself before you go there. And that's all I'm saying. Sometimes it's better you leave people alone if you don't know what you're doing. If you're only going to exacerbate the circumstance, you're going to mess their life up even more because you're not prepared to answer their question or to give them what they need. It's better just let somebody else do it. The problem is you got everybody now saying that God told me to tell you. Well, my number one question is why didn't he call me? I've been sitting right here by the phone all day. He called me, told me nothing. Well, And of course, we're making a gist of it, but we got 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes before we leave here. Oh, man. Pastor Waller, I'm going to take the clock away from you, man, because you've been mad. Brother Sam, tell you the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me do this. Tisha Cobb came up with a song that I Can Hear the Chains Falling. I'm gonna just 30 seconds of it, and I want us to go away on that tonight. I want us to go away on that. I want to wrap it up, get final thoughts from everybody, and try to answer one unique question before we leave tonight. Outkast, thank you for pushing us in this direction. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Thank
Needed
you.
Conversation. Needed conversation.
Oh, all right. Much more.
Give me a few seconds. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying much more. I mean, because like, well, go ahead. Play your, do what you're gonna do. Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
I mean, that's fine, but at the end of the day, from my point of view, talking about the issues that are going on, it's an ongoing conversation. But
yes,
you did speak realistically. You spoke the truth. If you don't know what you're doing, put someone in the lead that know what they're doing. Again, I allude to the fact that you have your politicians. You have your police in the neighborhood. Your politician lied to you. They gone on about their business and crime potentially going on. A lot of these so-called ministers, they jump up and they run out to these different projects and things of that nature. And they want to put more patrols in the neighborhood. And then they start putting people over and this and that. And that's agitating. But they need more experience. This is what I'm saying. You need more experience on the ground fighting. You know, I mean, if you're going to call the police department in, you sit down and have a good discussion with the chief or whoever he is. Look, we don't want to irritate nobody. We don't want to try to bring in racism. We don't want to hurt anyone. We just want to target certain people and know where your target is when you go.
Right.
Surveillance.
Right.
This is
right.
a strong leader. This is a strong minister. And no one is hurt. And there's no griping among the blacks talking about black while driving. And I hope.
Right. Well, we get what we need is to see the truth of the matter is it's some broken people in those neighborhoods. Unless you're getting them fixed, you just running game, you know? And
I agree.
You're getting people's emotions all stirred. Yeah. So
exactly.
Whew, man. 3072, final thought before we get out of here.
I don't have one. I'm just enjoyed listening and being on the show tonight.
We appreciate having you. We appreciate having you. And I want to say again to our listening audience that this is a format for us to open national dialogue and to share your story with others, you know. And I hope that as we continue to grow, others will join in with. I want to thank all of those who tuned in on Facebook, who listened to us. And we're grateful for this new feature here. We're still kind of working through it, the live stream, which allows us to share our conversation on a larger audience on Facebook as well as on the Blog Talk platform. But we thank you all for being here. Pastor Waller has been with us. It's been a year now, Pastor Waller, come November, that we've been doing this show. And you've been with us full time. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Let me take a second before our time expires on it to say that Pastor Wallace is the author of powerful book Still High, which he simply tells his story and his testimony about how God took one high
high from him and gave him a permanent high. His book is on our website in the back store, www.bfcinstitute.com. And BFC stands for Building Families and Communities. That's what we're doing. We're taking a research-based approach to seeing to that wherever we go. So I want to encourage you to go there and look at that. Every time you make a contribution or you get one of his books, he makes a contribution to our traveling lecture series, and he's done that already. So we appreciate him for doing that. We want to encourage him as well in his ministry, which is based here in Nashville, Tennessee, based right here in Nashville, Tennessee. He continues to own the block doing what he does. So we want to encourage you to be aware of that. And I think, tell us a little bit about, you're working on a show yourself, Pastor, or is that still in the works?
Well, yes, it is. It's upcoming, and I just desire your prayers and to just believe God is doing what he does best. I'm also on the radio broadcast on 1360 WNAH, AM station, at 5:30 on Saturday. Every Saturday.
Okay.
Been doing that for a while.
AM or PM? AM or PM?
In the PM. PM.
PM. 5:30 PM.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We appreciate that. Man, I sure hate that the time has expired. But we almost got to get out of here now. We almost got to get out of here. Again, next Tuesday, we'll be back 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing, and the boogerman don't get us. Amen? And if the boogerman get us, I'm going to shout, there's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, even the boogerman's chain. Again, I want to thank our Facebook listeners, those of you that have followed us. Outcast, I can't thank you enough, sir, for your participation and pushing us in that direction. Throughout the month of November, we have a theme, and we hope to bring a theme that is more related to some of what you were talking about, Outcast, in terms of people being empowered themselves to do what they need to do for themselves. A lot of times we rely on the preacher and the politician and the, you know, folk like that and elected officials, but you have power to do for yourself, and that's really what we want to send our focus throughout the month of November. So look for our next broadcast.
Right.
Huh?
But that doesn't mean that you disband the church. You know, if you find
No.
Yeah.
God, it's only one church. There's only one
church,
church, and that's the church of what? Of Christ.
That's right.
You God's
synagogue, but it's changed.
Hey, there's only one body, that's the body that he had established himself. Now, you got different groups and congregations and a denomination. That's
right.
Another story. But there was only one church that he said he gonna build, and then we, you know,
okay, well, I look
either
forward
in
to
it,
choosing.
No,
or you're not.
There you go.
You in it or you're not. Simple as that.
Come on now. I mean, either the sun is shining or it ain't, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But okay,
it's night. It's one of the two.
That's.
But I appreciate everybody, and I hope the lady returned. I did miss one caller. He put a seed in my head, and I was thinking about it today, but the next time he come on, I'll discuss it shortly, briefly with him, if you don't mind.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, we're gonna leave on Tisha Cobb and let us hear a little bit more about the chains that are falling. Thank you all. Join us next Tuesday for our next live episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're going to see you then.